is Keeping It 101, a Killjoy's Introduction to Religion podcast. This season, our work is made possible in part through a generous grant from the New England Humanities Consortium and with additional support from the University of Vermont's Humanities Center. We are grateful to live, teach, and record on the ancestral and unceded lands of the Abenaki, Wabanaki, and Akosisko peoples.
What's up, nerds? Hi, hello, I'm Megan Goodwin, a scholar of American religions, race, and gender. I'm totally bugging that it's the last episode of this season.
Hi, hello, I'm Elise Morgenstein First, a scholar of religion, Islam, race and racialization, and history. It's way harsh having to wrap all this up.
Way harsh, Ty. Hey, nerds! Can you believe we're at the end of season two? Truly a Twin Peaks experience. Who'd have thunk this podcast, which may have started as a Monet, but is decidedly a Baldwin, would do all this Killjoying and still have y'all listening?
I mean, we hoped so. It's us.
Right.
We did. Way to hang in there, nerds. We knew you could do it.
Last day of class check-in, friend. We'll talk more about teaching with the pod later, but just in general, how you feeling?
I mean, I'm feeling pretty full. We're recording just after Thanksgiving and just ahead of my own birthday and before the dreaded holiday season. So I guess I'm feeling pretty full and pretty full up.
Let's say that. Yep, yep.
How are you doing?
I mean, I likewise had the ritual sacrifice to settler colonialism yesterday. So I am tired because turkey, and also tired because this semester feels like it's been 8 million years long. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we've aged 40 years this month.
Easily 40 years. To say nothing of the 50 years we aged last month. So, yeah.
I'm conservatively 809 years old this weekend.
Just this weekend.
Yeah.
Be a full-on millennium by next weekend. Okay, good.
Call me okay. Methuselah.
Nice. All right. Irishing back up now. We are recording this just after Thanksgiving, as we said. And in the spirit of the season, we will be showing up at your homes, eating your food, stealing your houses, and telling you you're wrong about religion. No, JK. Only that last part is true. But in this time of quarantine and finals, we encourage you to veg out with us and reflect on what we learned this season. No party clothes required. They're so binding.
Let's get rolling, homies. It's time for the lesson plan. A lesson plan as if.
Roll it with the homies. Rest in peace, Brittany. We miss you. Today, we're going to talk about what we've learned this season. We'll also reflect on being Killjoys and on using public humanities scholarship as both research and teaching. Plus, we'll give you a teaser for next season. It's going to be a blast.
So today's lesson plan, then, we're going to review our main takeaways for thinking about religion, race, gender, and sexuality, talk about teaching and offer a self-assessment, and spoil the heck out of next season.
Excellent. Our thesis for season two was pretty simple. I'm sure you remember, but short version, you can't understand religion if you're not also thinking about race, gender, and sexuality. Intersectionality, bitches. And as we showed you a lot, we built our understandings of race, gender, and sexuality out of religion. Not just religion, but not religion. Even when the connections between religion, race, gender, and sexuality aren't immediately clear.
Yes, yes. And we want to chat us through not just what we've already laid out, but why and how we did it. Because transparent pedagogy is praxis, y'all. So let's talk about learning objectives. Think of this as a little self-assessment episode. With the added bonus of talking directly to our colleagues who teach with this podcast. And like, there's a lot of y'all. So thanks for that, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. We appreciate you. Keeping it one-on-one on today. The segment where we do some professor work.
All right, Goodwin. You wanna do our little review? What do you think our major take-homes for the season were?
Okay. Social constructs. We made them up. But also they do real work in the world. So just because we made them up doesn't mean that they're fake or not important. And when we're talking about social constructs, we're talking about important ways we structure our cultures and our world. Things like race and gender and sexuality and, you know, religion. We made them up, but they still have real world effects. when we're thinking about social constructs like race and gender and sexuality, we're thinking about the way that they structure and work on and do violence to our bodies and do violence about our bodies, our own bodies and the bodies of others.
Yeah.
Intersectionality being the overlapping way experiences of privilege and oppression inform the way that we are in the world. And if we are not aware of the fact that you can't separate your race from your gender, from your sexuality, from your ability, from all of the other things that make you up, you are just fundamentally misunderstanding the human experience. So intersectionality, not a cute day on your syllabus, is in fact the way that we get at everything else.
Yes. Exclamation point.
Exclamation point. And in this season of giving thanks, we give thanks to scholars who went before us, like Kimberly Crenshaw and Patricia Hill Collins, who helped us think more carefully and deliberately about intersectionality. Race, gender, and sexuality also not optional for analysis because it turns out all people have them. So we're not just talking about race when we're talking about not white people. We're not just talking about gender. So I'm never getting over people of gender. Not just women, not just non-binary. Like, everybody has gender, everybody has sexuality. Even if your sexuality is no thank you, please. Religion shapes our understandings of race, gender, and sexuality, which is why we have been talking about it all season. And just to sum up, the TLDR is no one can think about religion without thinking race, gender, and sexuality. And it's not just that you're not allowed. It's not like I'm a grumpy feminist and how fucking dare you. Truly, you're not fully understanding religion if you're not paying attention to the material experiences and ways of knowing that make up the people who do the religion. So that was so much. Yeah, I must so give much. Ourselves, it was, it's too much truly, but we're going to keep talking about it forever. So don't worry about it. I also must give ourselves snaps for all the good work we have been doing, but I also feel like we've barely scratched the surface.
Yeah. I mean, this is just a season. These are, you know, 35 to 50 minute podcast episodes. Of course, there is still so much work. We can, and guess what, nerds? We totally will expand on each and every single one of these major take-home themes. As this pod continues, we plan to do exactly that. But for now, hold tight to your butts. Never let them go, because we got to do some meta professor work.
Yes. That's right, friends. We're going to analyze our analyses. Let's talk about what we learned by hopefully helping you learn in a new segment I'd like to call Teacher's Lounge.
What's the theme song? Okay. Anyway, professor work includes thinking critically about our research and teaching, just like we think critically about the work of others. So in this teacher's lounge, let's turn the analysis on us. Megan, I can start or you can start, but let's do a wee little self-assessment.
All right, settle down, Beavis. I love a self-assessment, in large part because I have pretty good self-esteem and I'm surrounded by a lot of positive support. So these
You're
tend
welcome.
To go pretty well for me. Yeah, I appreciate you. But why are we doing this? Do we just not want the season to end? Love you like a sister, stay sweet, etc.
Have a good summer. But also, if this podcast is scholarship, which is what we're claiming, right? Like we are supported by, at this point, a grant specifically because what we're doing is scholarship in public. So mm-hmm. If this podcast is scholarship, even though, dear nerds, it does not have a double blind peer review.
Yet.
Mm-hmm. And if we're thinking about this podcast as scholarship and we want to think about the modes of assessment that folks like Hannah McGregor are using over at Secret Feminist Agenda as just one example, then the truth is that we have to do some self-assessment. We like just a little. Let's humor me. Let's bring in some scholarly practices to humor the real nerd of the two of us.
Fine, fine. I guess we don't want to be virgins who can't drive. Even though virginity is also a misogynist social construct, and taking the bus or the train is better for the environment anyway. So there, let's assess. But you go first.
Fine. All right. One of the things I think that's working for us here at Keeping It 101 is the basics, actually. We are, you know, dust your shoulders off, really good at stating the issues clearly. We do a lot of theory work, but we explain it in understandable ways and with loads of historical support. We have accessible and built upon show notes, like we're making bibliographies and glossaries and lists and explanations both on air right now as we chat with you, but also in our web pages so that they're static and searchable and you can return to them easily. Religion is so misunderstood and race is so misunderstood and gender is so misunderstood that I think what we do this season and what we do broadly is a good job of juggling all those intellectual balls while still talking like people, not eggheads. Most of the time.
Mostly. Yeah. Okay. A thing I have been thinking a lot about is impact. Public scholarship is a big part of my job. And I tell folks all the time that good public scholarship is good pedagogy. But it's one thing to like know that or to plan an op-ed around one central message like you would a single class discussion. It's another thing entirely to be so real. I have been yelling about cults on the internet for literal years. And it felt like I made very little headway at all. And then we did the cults episode because, again, Judith Weisenfeld asked us to do the cults episode because she is very wise. And then so many folks came back and said that it made them radically rethink both the word and the concept and how they teach it. And they stopped using that word. And you, Elise, suggested that I might be more effective when I use my teacher voice than when I use my "someone on the internet is wrong" voice. And while it is fun to yell, you're probably right, as you so often are, annoyingly, that teaching voice works better. Like, the more you know.
Okay. I'll pull it together.
No, it's fine. You get a smug chuckle.
It's not even a smug chuckle. It's really like, I feel like it is shocking that you did not realize that. But like.
Fine.
Oh, man. Okay.
But I'm right. Why do I have to be right and like accessible? God damn it. Turns out. Right is not enough. Fuck. Oh, well. I would also like to offer my love and respect to the end for past us deciding to launch this pod 2 months before a damn pandemic.
Oh, because, yeah. Holy crap. You know,
it's not just that the pod meant we did a lot of lessons ahead of a truly cuckoo banana pants time to be teaching, though I'm definitely not mad that we worked ahead. Take that, grade school teachers who kept demanding I quote unquote pay attention or whatever. I was so grateful to have non-written and, I hope, anyway, fun sources to assign in my world religions class. It's always weird assigning your own work, but the students seemed to dig the pod, and I definitely used the show notes when I was tweaking my syllabi. You specifically included some rad stuff that I either forgot about or just missed the first time. So thanks for that, lady.
You're welcome. Yeah, and I'll say my very own students are using the pod too, also in my scramble to make accessible non-reading assignments in this pandemic remote teaching universe. And I know that some of some other UVM students of my dream team colleagues, so hi to Vicky and Tom, they're also using the podcast. And what's interesting is that since you and I have made this little space to be ourselves with each other, I feel like what I've lost in face-to-face instruction this, frankly, whole year has been at least partially made up with this pod. So the improved bits, the improved bits of a classroom lecture don't translate on a recorded PowerPoint or a Flipgrid or whatever tech I'm using this week. But through the pod and with you to bounce off of, I feel like we've got a good little thing going that feels somewhat more normal and engaging and interesting for not just our students, but frankly, all the students that are listening.
Yeah. It's been cool. I've done a couple like virtual class visits this semester, and some of them, I guess, I've been listening to the pod for class. I'm like, wait, I know this voice. It's cool. And I'm like, I am humbled, truly, and that takes a lot. That so many of you test. That's some work. That's an uphill battle. But so many of you all like assigned this in your classes and pulled on the resources that we pulled together. And that's just, yeah, it makes this whole semester feel a little bit less isolated and a little bit less devoid of joy. So
Yeah. So it sounds like we think we're teaching in an accessible way. We're making plain some of the highfalutin theory work that you and I both love and detest and love again.
yes, be because theory without concrete support is nonsense talk.
Yes, but also we're doing both of those things at the same time.
We
So
are.
it sounds like we think we're doing a great job, but assessment isn't really assessment without critique, lady. So on the
Fair,
flip,
fair.
I'll go first. I think a thing that we actually can improve upon is that, in the interest of time, our, and I guess I mean my, shock and awe style pedagogy can raise more questions in this format than we can actually answer. And I think
Yeah.
listening back, there are episodes that to me feel a little bit rushed. Like we know what we want to say, but we're plowing through and we're trying so hard to tell everyone everything that we move a little bit too quickly.
Yes to that. I think a lot about friend of the pod, Jean Gallagher's great pedagogy article called Teaching for Religious Literacy, where he encourages teachers, especially of intro courses, to, and I'm going to quote here, intentionally and gratefully abandon the quixotic hope of coverage. I think about that line all the time, and yet I always struggle with trying to cover as much as I possibly can. So, yeah, moving forward, maybe we can try to like, oh, slow down a little while continuing our commitment to keeping it real. Not sure if this is a room for improvement so much as a clarification, but we also hear, oh man, you should do something from folks a lot. So, A of all, we love you, never change, keep in touch. But like Jean tells us, we can't know all the things. So we're going to keep building on our own areas of expertise in designing the show. But I think we can also keep pushing ourselves to find ways to include more perspectives and more folks with different areas of expertise. And speaking of including more voices, hey, Elise, what's on deck for season three?
More is on deck for season three. More topics, a
More!
new format, and new chances to improve. We'll be pairing up topics in religion with more interviews with experts. We're
Oh.
also thinking of adding segments or even regular minisodes called office hours where we would answer your submitted questions. So let us know what you think about that. We're going to talk
Again.
more about season three at toward the end of the episode too, gang. So don't, I don't know, hold on to your butts for the second time.
Readjust your grip, I guess.
Shift
Anyway.
that weight.
We're totally bugging about what's coming up, but that's enough self-assessment for now. Let's give the people what they want.
Whatever, it's primary sources.
Primary sources. We are squarely in the holiday season in what is now the United States between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we all know how much oomph gets bent out of shape about the holiday season equaling Christian stuff that masquerades as American. So today's primary sources is a holiday special, y'all. Let's talk holidays.
I guess that means I have to go first.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I feel like on the pod, I launch my own personal war on Christmas.
So proud of you.
I promise, Goyim, that I want you to have a lovely holiday and meaningful time to reflect, recharge, and reconnect. I just also really hate Christmas season. It's so offensively clear that I'm not quite right this time of year. Someone just tried, like literally last week, just tried to explain to me that Christmas lights and even the word peace as house decorations are secular. And I was just like, girl, no. No. Let me launch into a text message battle about the ways in which those are not secular.
Incorrect.
No, those are like a de-dogmatizing your religion and pretending like I have equal access. Yeah. Girl, no.
No.
Anyway, here's the deal, nerds. I told Goodwin that I would tell the story of when I ruined Christmas for a whole first grade class today as part of our holiday special.
It's so special. I love you so much. Go ahead. Okay.
So here goes. In Miss Tenebruso's first grade class, I jumped on a table, like feet on the table, like New Jersey trash, and screamed, to the best of my recollection, Santa isn't real and your parents are liars. Because Miss T, whom I adored, I loved this woman, but she, perhaps unbeknownst to her, was following on the kindergarten slight that I experienced in Mrs. Connor's class, whom I also adored. When she came around, we had to make these like brown paper bags from the supermarket. We had to color a piece of paper to staple onto that to fill with all the art crap we'd made for our parents for the holidays, right? And so the piece of paper that we had to color on our holiday bag, both in kindergarten and in first grade, which is when I lost it, was a choice. And you could choose a Christmas tree or a Santa. And I, the lone Jew on Christmas, could stand it no more. I, tiny 7-year-old me, broke in half.
Oh.
Like, I want you to imagine that a public school is like, a Christmas tree or Santa is okay because they're secular. And for all you goy right now that are like, it is secular, there's no Jesus, I'm like, you're joking. And also, since some of you are going to take offense at being called goy, no, I'm reclaiming my right to be snarky in my native tongue. What's amazing about this moment of like screaming at the top of my lungs and needing to go sit on my alphabet letter to like cool off and eventually being given a blank piece of paper to draw on what I want, which I remember feeling just as bad, right? Like, so now not only am I not able to choose what the other kids have, but like I had to make my own. That's lame. I'm a first grader. I don't know how to draw. I certainly don't know how to draw as well as a pre-printed color page. And all of this just so you didn't have to teach us the week before vacation. Anyway, I think what's amazing to me about this particular story is that now I have a second grader and she's really struggling with the holiday season and not like I was. She is not, let's say, pugilistic in the way that I am in my soul. She's not doing a, I hate you and your parents are liars and I'm going out of my way to ruin this holiday for you way that I absolutely own was my persona as a small person.
So much.
But our kiddo is essentially in a Christmas lights aren't for us. Christmas trees aren't for us. No, I don't want to walk around the neighborhood looking at it. Why can't I match red with green, mama? Why does that upset you so much? No one knows about Hanukkah. I'm the only one who does the Jewish holidays in my class. How come I had to miss school for Rosh Hashanah, but, and then lists her friends' names. They don't miss school for Christmas. So like, that kid is way calmer than me, but I think she's feeling the same level of square peg, round hole that this time of year makes non-Christians feel.
Yeah, and so I loved her personal war on the Great British Bake Off.
Yeah, no, that bitch was so mad about the violence that the Great British Bake Off did to babka. And if you are not familiar with that violence, please go look it up. A lot of Jews then baked babka in resistance work, but she literally screamed at the TV, none of them care, they're not Jews, and it was amazing. Anyway, I want folks to enjoy their holiday season, but I think I also want them to use it as an adjective. Mm. It is the Christian holiday season. The Jewish holiday season is long over. And BT Dubs, we figured out how to do it distantly without as much whining.
Yeah.
So, like, what would it feel like, Goyim, to be an adjective instead of the noun? Not the holiday season with a descriptive marker, but a holiday season. No definitive clause here, just Christian holiday season. Anyway, that's my personal war on Christmas. I stand by it, but I will have Chinese food on December 25th, as we do every year.
That sounds Megan, delicious.
You're up.
Awesome. Just to stay in the spirit of the season, I also hate Christmas.
Yeah, kill all the joy.
I hate it so much. I hate it so much. I feel like the entire damn country stops even pretending that we're not a Christian supremacist state. And worse, they sing fucking songs about it. Terrible songs. And the songs are everywhere. And you cannot escape them. And they start in October now. And it's okay. Sorry, the dog just ran in from the other room.
You are frightening animals. Take a deep breath.
I am. And I need, as I am saying this, I need you to see me as the full-on Grinch with the drumsticks smacking my temples, complaining about the noise, because that's how I feel about it. And every season, or every year, the season gets longer, and every year someone tries to convince me that Christmas isn't really about religion anymore. Hello, have we met? And every year I try to figure out why I didn't just go have Chinese food with mofos instead of succumbing to this fucking victory lap of capitalist Christian supremacy.
At least, if it gives you any quarter this time around, this year it's the COVID's fault. So
it's true.
You could just blame the Rona.
Well, also I'm in my house now, so nobody can make me accidentally listen to stupid Christmas shoes or the Dominic Christmas donkey or whatever. I'm safe. But I didn't actually always hate Christmas. I was a pretty dedicated Catholic for a long time. And once, a long, long time ago, I was a wee ginger child who sang in the church choir, which frankly, in retrospect, is probably another reason I hate Christmas, because I had to do so many masses. Like, I was way into Santa also until I found his wrapping paper in my mom's closet, which was a whole, like, moment of breaking for me, because I realized that there was this vast conspiracy being orchestrated by my mother.
Yeah,
not parents.
You would have appreciated me when I was in first
grade. I would have. Not through high school, probably, because you wouldn't talk to me because of the sports. But yeah, kindergarten, then again, then grad school. I was like, my mother, not parents, but my specific mother has been lying, I guess, to everybody.
Wait, so you didn't think your mom was, like, enacting a conspiracy? You thought your mom was the progenitor
of the conspiracy. Yeah.
And so, great.
Yeah. No, like, I was gobsmacked, and I immediately went to tell my sister, not because I was, like, trying to ruin Christmas, because, like, I had important information that she didn't have, and she needed to know.
Yeah, and my stepmom's an alien. This is, like, that level of, like, yes. You have pulled back the mask.
Exactly. Like, I tried to red pill my sister, and except the red pill here is about Santa and not men's rights, which are nothing. And my sister started crying because she's, like, 2.5 years younger than I am, and she was sad about no Santa, and my dad yelled at me for ruining Christmas. And I vividly remember being 7 years old and being like, "Dad, you don't understand. Mom is Santa. Mom is Santa." Clearly, he didn't know. So right. So like, this is not so much a religion story as it is a story about how we, and by we I mean I, probably should have realized that I was on the spectrum much earlier than I did, i.e. last year. Thanks, #actuallyautisticTwitter, and also Hannah Gadsby. There's not really a takeaway lesson there. It's just last day of classes, and it turns out my mom's Santa. So you need to know.
Well, that was primary sources.
Primary sources.
All right, well, listen, before we head off to not enjoy the Christmas season, but also if you're you know, part of the Mofu Couch crew on Christmas to watch Elf, I can't help it, I love that movie, and tell our nerds, let's tell our nerds what's up for season 3 in a more direct way.
Yes, let's. Talking about format changes, next season we're going to let others teach us all things. Here's how it'll work. We are going to do an episode setting up the 101 on a topic or idea. Then in the following episode, a baller scholar of religion and something we are not experts in will come and do the next level chat with us about the topic. Think of it like we set up the intro, the scholar hits it out of the park, and we prepare you for a classroom visit. Each little mini arc is two episodes, and we are in for some thematic treats.
We have such a good lineup. Tell everybody what it is?
Yes, we may. Go for
Can
it.
I do it in particular?
Yes, you may. You specifically on behalf of...
how about I do half and you do half?
No, you could do as much as you want. I was going to give it to you in the spirit of the season.
No, take back the dirty Christmas gift. I don't want it. I'm kidding, everybody. I send out gifts. I'm really not a monster. Just like a wee monster. I'm like a 4'11" monster. All right, let's
you're
focus.
My favorite monster. Focus in. All right. Who are we chatting with next semester, assuming that they still want to talk to us after we hated on Christmas?
Yeah, that's true. We are probably making enemies left and right. But in no particular order, we are going to do, we're going to talk about public scholarship, children's literature, and representation with Dr. Simranjeet Singh and a two-episode arc that we feature him in. Simran is a dear friend of ours, but more importantly, he's basically a world-famous scholar of religion, Sikhi, and he's a fierce advocate for religious literacy. And his most recent book is actually the New York Public Library recommended kids' book, Foja Singh Keeps Going, which is a picture book for elementary school readers.
It's so great, and it's so beautiful. And hey, it is the holiday season. It's also available wherever books are sold. We're also talking Islam, Jinn, and texts with Dr. Ali Olami, who is a Twitter legend. His weekly Wednesday threads on medieval Islamic magic, astrology, and Jinn routinely go viral, as well they should. We basically are stans of Ali Olami, and we invited him to talk about how and why thinking about the parts of Islam that you never learn about, like ghost stories, is important.
Yeah, we stan the master of, frankly, academic cited threads.
Yeah. It's the things of beauty. And truly, they brighten up every single Wednesday.
They're great. In season 3, we'll also talk Bible, magic, and religion with Dr. Shaili Patel. Yay. Shaili is another badass scholar whose work centers on something neither of us know anything about, which is namely early Christianity.
Okay, so, I did TA in that class. I don't know anything about it, but I was TAing for it. So,
well, that's a cell phone question mark. A testament to your amazing teaching, or to the ways in which to have health insurance, we will work any job available to us as grad workers.
Can confirm.
Anyway, we're going to have Shaili on to talk about how we know the difference between magic and religion, what's at stake in that difference, and why we moderns should care about all this ancient biblical history.
Yeah. And one of the things that I really appreciate about Shaili is the way that she can take this really specific, like, millennia-old way of approaching texts and make it relevant to the way that we still think about texts in scripture. She's great.
Very exciting. No, and we need a little bit of that. And nerds, I know a lot of you have been asking for things like texts, like Christianity, like Bible. And so Shaili is kindly going to help us out.
We really appreciate it because we can't know all the things. And last but certainly absolutely not least, the Dr. Anthea Butler will be chatting with us about U.S. politics, white evangelicalism, and racism. She is the greatest of all time in all things U.S. religion. She is well-known and an oft-cited scholar of race, religion, and what's now the United States. And she's coming to school us, and we are so grateful, about all the stuff her forthcoming book is about. It's called White Evangelical Racism, so you know we're stoked. Ahead of our season 3 format change, we'll post a syllabus. If you're curious about how to teach with the pod, hit us up on Twitter. Each episode's show notes are a treasure trove of lesson planning goodness. Like, I have to say this again, because that sounds like we're patting ourselves on the back. And we should, because we did a lot of work. But also, for real, when I was planning my class last semester, I was like, oh, right, I don't have to come up with something out of nowhere in order to teach the pod. Elise already listed all the things that I can assign, and so many of them are short and accessible already. So like a first year undergrad can definitely read this quick op-ed and then talk about the pod. Thank you, past us.
Yeah, okay. And I'll add that one of the things that I am planning to do between seasons is to make like little info like graphics about how you might assign things. So not everything follows the pod exactly, because everything we put in, there's a ton of stuff that gets to the cutting room floor. So if your class is about Buddhism, you'll notice we don't often talk about Buddhism, but we often put in the show notes other kinds of resources that you could use about that. So hopefully they are accessible, but also useful. We are hoping to make this public scholarship process as effective as it can be. So go use it. It's there.
Yes. Awesome. Okay, homework for this time.
Homework? What homework?
Have fun. Support your local businesses. Try not to impose your religion on others. Please and thank you.
Yeah, I guess stay hydrated and socially distant and masked. Maybe have some bubbly or some other drink that you quite like to have. Stay tuned, we hope. And with that, peace out, nerds. See you next semester, and we hope not sporadically.
And do your homework. It's on the syllabus.
You know, maybe I found out too early. I was 5 years old when Santa gave me my own fire truck and a teddy bear that smelled like my dad's cigarettes. That's not Santa.
I just believe things and go on believing them. Someone tells me a fat man's bringing me dolls every year, I just don't question it.
You would have been my nightmare. We were on very strict instructions from Rabbi Shmuley not to say a word until the last Christian kid found out about Santa Claus. Ruining Christmas? Very bad for our brand.